This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
Sky, you ready?
Curdy B, I just changed the windshield wipers on my car, so I'm a professional mechanic now.
Costco? Did you get them at Costco, baby?
I did get them at Costco.
There it is. It's the only place. I don't think they sell them anywhere else.
No,
Costco's the only place that
sells windshield wipers. And 900 pieces of salmon sushi. But yeah, I'm ready to laugh and laugh and laugh.
All right, let's do it. Here it is. Endless shrimp is financially ruining Red Lobster.
Oh, man. It is so funny. What a choice. Some things should have an end. But let's talk about beginnings. The beginning of the Bananas podcast.
Yes. Guys, gals, non-binary pals, welcome to the Bananas Podcast. Sitting across from me is not only the strikingly handsome and incredibly talented multi-hyphenate screenwriter, podcaster, all-around good guy, Scotty Landis.
You know, I've never wanted to be a multi-hyphenate, but any compliment that comes from America's sweetheart, the March Madness king himself, stand-up legend, number one dad in California.
Thank you.
Kurt Brownoler.
I'm very excited about everything we're going to be talking about today, Scotty.
It's going to be a great episode.
I'm all revved up. I feel like I've had five lives already. Okay. I've been solo parenting. Okay. And it's only noon, and I definitely feel like a lot has happened to me. But let's bring our guests on, Scotty.
I love when we have a guest that has a podcast because they know that you're supposed to talk.
Our guest today is the most famous bisexual, solo, polyamorous, black, queer comedian, actor, and writer currently based in Los Angeles.
Correct.
You can listen to her podcast, TV, I Say, with Ashley Ray, and her new stand-up album, Ice Cream Money, is out right now everywhere you listen to things. Please welcome Ashley Ray.
Hi, I'm so glad to be here.
Welcome
to
the show.
Have you? How are you? How's your day?
It's good, you know. I get to work from home on Fridays. Like most writers, I have a day job right now because the industry
is terrible.
Still, they're angry. They hate us still. So, yeah, it's been nice to work the old corporate 9-to-5 again.
Nice.
I have a lot of friends that are working day jobs right now, and some of them are starting to prefer it. It's actually been a turn where, like, a few of them are like, Scotty, I like, one buddy's like, I've never really bought any art for my walls. I've had this apartment for 8 years. Now I have a day job and I feel some security. And I was like, that is the most heartbreaking.
That is, wow.
The state of television writing right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do like the insurance that is steady. You know, it's not like, oh, no, I didn't work. Am I going to have enough? It's just, you get it. You just have insurance. It's pretty nice.
I have like just these waves where I'm just like, I'm never doing it. And then all of a sudden I like start running out of money. And I'm like, oh no, I have to get a day job. Then
need me to write copy? I will write an ad for anything. What do you need? I've hire me, please.
It's a delightful endeavor to try and be a creative freelancer.
It is. And there was an entry-level system in place with Comedy Central and MTV and VH1 and True TV and IFC and TBS.
It's all gone.
And it's all gone. And that's what a lot of people from the outside don't understand, because all of us, when we turn on our TV, it's, you know, you go to the streamers, or if you still have Sling or something like DirecTV. But for the most part, for comedy writers, the first step from I'm writing, I have a script, I do stand-up, to television, all of those networks are now gone.
They're gone. They're all gone. That should have been my trajectory, okay? I would have gotten a Comedy Central special. I would have written for some comedian show for hopefully at least 2 seasons. Come on. My workaholics type thing. That would have been my, where you, yeah, I love workaholics. And that would have been where you learn and you pick things up. And now it's like everyone will tell comedy writers, you first write a drama. And if you write a drama, maybe you can get hired on a dramedy and you can be the person who writes the one joke every 10 minutes.
There you go. I know.
So.
You're going to make it. Stick with it. You're going to be huge.
Yeah.
Please hire me in 4 or 5 years. I'll beg you for insurance. Please. Curdy B, you know this big old world of ours can be a very scary place.
Are you kidding me? Of course I know.
I know you know. We talk about it all the time, but it shouldn't keep you up at night. And what shouldn't be scary? Men's grooming. Manscaped and 10 million of their happy customers, including us, agree.
It might seem like getting a close shave below the waist could take skin and years off your life, but Manscaped lawnmower trimmers are all equipped for those sensitive areas. For a basic trim, go with the Lawnmower 3.0 and work your way up to the 5.0 model with 2 interchangeable blade heads, one for taking a little off the top and one for a smoother shave. It also has a LED spotlights to guide you through whatever you may be working with, and all of this, it is waterproof. You can take it in the shower. Scotty took his in the shower, didn't you, Scotty?
I took mine in the shower. I have the Lawnmower 5.0, and boy, oh boy, the results, stunning, says me.
Stunning. Stunning, says Scotty.
But this thing really works. We can all do a little bit better job of, you know, grooming and personal maintenance. And I got to say, Manscaped also sent us boxer briefs. Great boxer briefs that I wore yesterday. Love them.
They're very comfortable.
Bananimals, right now you can get 20% off and free shipping with the code BANANAS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with our code BANANAS at manscaped.com. For the best your lawn has ever looked, trust Manscaped.
Ashley, do you want to hear about Red Lobster? What's going on with them?
Always, always.
I mean, I'm so excited about this. I actually have, multiple all-you-can-eat stories, which we're just going to go into the all-you-can-eat news world right now. All right, so this was sent in by Valerie O'Neill. Thank you, Valerie, on Instagram.
Thank
you can
you.
Send us strange news at the Bananas Podcast on Instagram. You can DM us or you can email us at thebananaspodcast@gmail.com. So this is Endless Shrimp is Financially Ruining Red Lobster. This is on Food and Wine. This was
their choice. They chose to do this.
Oh, I know. And they continue to choose to do it, which is the best part. Stacy Lieska. Thank you, Stacy. You are the best in the biz writing about crustaceans.
Cheddar Bay biscuits, yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
you can, in fact, have too much of a good thing, and it appears Red Lobster is learning that the hard way. In an earnings report call in early November, Ludovic Regis Henri Garnier, that's the Frenchest name, the CFO of Thai Union Group? Which owns Red Lobster. I don't know if that company is from Thailand, but that would be interesting. Announced that its ultimate endless shrimp deal, which is normally a limited time offer but was added to the daily menu in June, was exceedingly popular. So popular that it caused the restaurant chain to post an operating loss of more than $11 million in the third just in the third quarter.
That's a lot of shrimp.
That's a lot of clams.
That is so much shrimp.
Here's the straight numbers for it. Sadly, a shrimp debacle could be putting Red Lobster in real trouble. According to Restaurant Business, the restaurant's parent company had expected its losses to hover around $17 million earlier this year, but a better-than-expected second quarter boosted that number to just $14 million. Now, however, those losses are expected to total around $20 million and it's just from Endless Shrimp.
I mean, somebody had to run the numbers on this. Come on, like, it's shrimp. If it's endless, I'm gonna eat it.
They're not that big.
Yeah, this isn't like a Olive Garden pasta thing where you can't, you know, pasta's filling. You can't, you know, yeah. There's an end there.
Max. Yes.
Yeah, shrimp. No, no. You could stay there for hours and just snack on shrimp and drinks.
Also, popcorn shrimp is the one seafood that even people that don't like seafood are like, no, I'll eat popcorn shrimp.
Yeah.
Because you can't even
breading.
Tell. Yeah, exactly. It's just breading. It's like, is there shrimp in here? Was that? Here it is. This is a quote from Garnier, the CFO. We knew the price was cheap. But the idea was to bring more traffic in the restaurants, so we wanted to boost our traffic, and it didn't work. To be fair, according to the earnings call, the chain of 670 restaurants did experience a 4% year-over-year growth. So it just kept getting more, like, people, more and more people kept going, and it was $20 for people to get as much of two different types of shrimp.
$20? That is so cheap for seafood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
$20 for... I mean, for the day.
For the day. Like I said, you $20, you lock in for hours.
It's more expensive to go to Chuck E. Cheese for an hour.
Yeah. This is ridiculous. Also, getting new people in the door at Red Lobster. I'm sorry. There's no one out there who was like, I mean, I like shrimp, but I never thought about it from Red Lobster. But now that it's endless, I got to try their shrimp. Like, you're either a really Red Lobster great. Person or you're not. Yeah. There's no one was like, you know, I usually go to my really fancy seafood, but theirs is endless now. No, that doesn't happen.
No, it is not. Oh, and also I forgot about this. Every meal also comes with the Cheddar Bay biscuits and a side salad. It doesn't have an unlimited, salad bar like Sizzler does. No, I don't think it does.
No, I've never been. I have
what?
A side
You've
story
never been to Red Lobster?
Are you joking
yes.
me?
So
let's go.
I watch. Yes, please do. Also, watch how long this takes me to do this because I've been thinking about this a lot lately.
Where's he going?
Yeah, what is this now?
I don't know. He threw down his earphones. He's running somewhere.
Oh,
he's
Red Lobster gift cards.
He got $75.
$75
so
here.
I have two Red Lobster gift cards. One for $50 and one for $25 that I was given by a guy about 10 years ago. And California gift cards never expire, which is a great law.
Time out. Were you planning on doing this story as well? Did you just have those?
No.
No, you just happened
you just
to have
had them
right
there
on your table?
It was on, it's next to my desk. along with my Costco card and my prescription card. So, yeah, this is so weird that you're doing this story because I've been thinking about this dude. 11 years ago, I was having dinner and this guy was telling me how embarrassing his parents are because their favorite restaurant is Red Lobster and his dad will eat the entire basket of Cheddar Bay biscuits before the drinks are served.
Yes.
And his dad would hold the basket on the side of the table and tap it on the side empty so that the paper and the plastic would tap until the server would bring more Cheddar Bay biscuits. Oh. And I was like, are they good? He's like, they are incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're very
so
good.
The next,
they're incredible.
I've heard they're great. So the next time, I've only seen this dude two times in my whole life. The next time I saw him, he gave me $75 worth of Red Lobster, and I think there's one in the valley that's like 30 minutes away. 30 minutes away.
So yeah, that's the closest one.
I'm happy to treat.
Let's go.
I have five more. I can buy all of us endless shrimp for these two guards.
Yeah,
I mean, $75 at Red Lobster is already too much money. That's more than you could probably ever spend. I also am pretty sure the biscuits come free.
Yes.
Like, I think you just, you get them when you sit down.
Yep.
Yes.
And also, so here's what I was saying. Well, we should definitely go to Red Lobster first and foremost, guys.
Please.
Secondly, this is something I've been thinking about. I was talking about hibachi for a different podcast.
Huh.
And I think we need to do a bananas hibachi thing.
Done. Great.
Like where it's like, I don't know, some type of like thing, maybe a contest or whatever, but it's like eight people. We go to like a hibachi meal in some city all together.
Okay. Let's run it through ER legal, but that sounds fun.
Right?
Yeah.
I want to do that. I love hibachi. I love hibachi so much. And I haven't been in years. When's the last time anybody's gone to hibachi?
Probably high school, honestly. There, it was a big New thing Year's in my high school.
You yeah. went this New Year's Eve? Where is one?
Last New Year's Eve in Key West, I went.
In Key West?
It's very Key West activity.
I thought it would be so funny. I went and saw Robert the Haunted Doll, that if you have to say, please let me take a photo of you, and then rode a golf cart to a Benihana and yes. went ham. It was good.
It's good. Yeah.
It's delicious.
Did you know the owner of Benihana is Steve Aoki's father?
Yeah.
I did.
Everybody knows that except for me. That's crazy.
There was like a joke about it in, I want to say Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. That's the only reason I know. They do a whole thing where they just call that restaurant like Steve Aoki's dad's restaurant. So I do have a Red Lobster story. And I grew up relatively poor, so Red Lobster was very fancy for my family. Mm-hmm. And I grew up in Rockford, Illinois, where that is one of the finer options to mm-hmm. eat at. And my family, my entire family, we were banned from the Red Lobster in our town.
No.
For a solid 3 months. But it's because, so my mom had a really good friend who worked there, and she would hook us up. If you want endless shrimp, befriend someone who works at Red mm-hmm. Lobster.
Yeah.
They'll bring you endless shrimp. And she would just do that. She'd be like, whatever, you guys, you're my buddies. She would hook us up. And she got in trouble. She got caught because they, like, finally one day, one of her managers was like, you just gave them like $100 worth of free stuff.
Wow.
But instead of firing her,
they banned you.
They banned us and were like, they can't come back, and you took advantage. And she was like, cool, yeah, just wait. This guy's going to get fired in like 3 months. And when the new manager comes around, it won't matter. And that's precisely what happened.
Yes.
There's no wall where they put our pictures and they were like, this family. Like, no, the next part, they were just like, who gives a shit? Feed them.
Has anybody here ever had their picture taken and put on the wall of an establishment to not be allowed back in?
No.
I
waited too many tables.
It has only happened to me once.
Oh my
God. I was maybe 20 years old.
What'd you do?
And it was the 9:30 Club in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, good club.
I went to go see, it was probably 1995 or so, and I went to go see the Jesus Lizard.
Sure.
And it was very lax security to get in, and we knew that because we'd been there a bunch. And so we came up from Baltimore, and I had in my bag just two mason jars of tequila. And then, like, walked into a club with my own alcohol, because I didn't, A, have enough money to buy drinks there, and B, I wasn't 21. And so then we stupidly we buy orange juice at the bar.
Oh, sure.
And then
normal adults buying orange juice at the bar.
Punks, can I just get one orange juice, please? And then we happened to go, and then we go into like this chill out lounge, which was like a square. And what I did not realize was that the lighting for the whole room came from black lights that were stuffed underneath the chairs that we were sitting on. Okay. And I put my bag down and took out the tequila and put it on the ground, thinking it was hidden in the darkness underneath the chair. Mm-hmm. And instead there was a black light that lit it up super bright so that you could see it from across the club. And within 3 minutes we were kicked out. They took our photos and I watched them pin them to the wall. And said, you are banned from the 9:30 Club. And then we had to sit and listen to the Jesus Lizard through the wall outside while all of the rest of our friends were inside enjoying what was a spectacular show, apparently. Mm-hmm. Oh, hey, Scotty, have you ever gone on a trip and realized you went bananas while packing and not in a good way?
Yeah, I did. I actually went on a ski trip once, like a long week at a ski resort, and realized I forgot to pack any t-shirts at all. I went coats, sweatshirts, I went warm long johns, I went everything but t-shirts. So I was layering in a very strange way.
It happens to the best of us. Fortunately, you can skip the vacation-induced identity crisis by investing in clothes that feel like you no matter where you go.
What a concept. And the best place to shop for those is Quince.
Quince believes that quality products make your closet and vacation better. And that's why they create luxury essentials at reasonable prices. You go on their website.
It's crazy.
And their clothes are 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And it's shocking. It really is just like, oh my gosh, it's like every single thing is a good deal. I recently got a very classic white short sleeve linen shirt.
It's nice.
Beautiful linen. It's a really nice high quality, and it was affordable. You know, it's like, oh, this is like a nice way to just kind of get a refresher on your wardrobe without breaking the bank.
Yeah, we got summer weddings coming, and you're going to look styling and profiling. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/bananas, receive free shipping on your order, and a 365-day return policy. That's Quince, quince.com/bananas, and get free shipping and a 365-day returns. quince.com/bananas. At Amherst Brewing Company in Amherst, Massachusetts, which you're supposed to say Amherst.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Amherst.
I went to school in Western Massachusetts.
Where'd you go?
Williams College.
Look at
that's
that.
A good school. That's yeah. way, way west.
It is
way
better north, than Amherst, west. Also. They were our biggest rival.
They're huge rivals, Kurt. They're yeah. wildly huge rivals.
Yeah, it's called like the biggest little rivalry in the world because no one else knows about it except for people who go to Williams or Amherst.
That's right. But good summer acting program. Good
yes, yes.
in Williamstown.
That's yeah, really Williamstown yeah. Theater Festival is really good.
My buddy, Jacob Jones, who I've talked about before on the pod, good friend, worked at ABC, Amherst Brewing Company, and my favorite thing about going and drinking there was, well, they're really strict about IDs, so every fake ID, and this is a college town with five colleges within 5 miles, they would just punch a hole and then hang it on this loop, and while Skip was working, I would just ask for the loop, and I would say it was maybe 250 confiscated fake IDs, and I would just flip through them, and they were incredible. Bad photos. Somebody that was like a guy with a beard, it would say female, 110 pounds. And it was like everything was, it was incredible. It was like the best bar activity ever is to see all the people that got caught and then you took them, punched a hole in and hung them on this rope that you could just look at. It was
oh, great. That's such
there's
a great idea.
Such a high possibility that if you had been there around 2009-10, you would have seen my ID. I
oh,
mean,
yeah?
The,
you had one
oh yeah, we would go from Williams to Amherst because that's like there were actual other colleges and people yeah, around. Right. Williams is very isolated, yes. So we'd go there. And I mean, before I was 21, it was just like, well, just they don't really care. It's a college town. I definitely got at least two IDs taken in Amherst. Yeah,
it was pretty strict there because of that. And all the Ivy Leagues would come in too. Like UMass, I went to UMass, and that was such a party school. That like on weekends, especially in the fall semester, like freshmen from Harvard would come to UMass to party, and they would tell you, they were like, we are here to get drunk and fucked up and play beer pong. And
yep.
And they call them 30 racks up there instead of 30 packs of beer. They're like,
yeah, 30 racks.
Rack. And yeah, all the schools would come to UMass and just go hard.
That's what we did. Oh, yeah. That was the party good. Town for us nerds. Yeah.
That's pretty great.
I do have one other endless food option story that it's not a long enough for me to bring it back later. But I do want to give this to you because this is fascinating. This is just an example of how you can do it a little different than Red Lobster.
Okay.
This was in the New Yorker magazine.
That's real.
The hottest restaurant in France is an all-you-can-eat buffet.
mm-hmm.
This is and the photograph is insane. It's like this a seafood tower that's I think 10 feet tall and 15 feet wide, all lobster. Steam is coming out of it. There's one lobster standing on top with his arms in the air. It is like, and then all around it is like crab legs, big giant crabs, clams. And so it's all you can eat. So here it is. I will just read you just a little bit of
yeah,
it and then we
please.
Get out of it.
Yeah.
My friend Guillaume is always telling me interesting things. This is written by Lauren Collins.
Oh, she's good.
Best in the biz.
She's really good.
My friend Guillaume is always telling me interesting things. Like there's a dance called the Madison that many French people think is a regular feature of parties in the United States. Guillaume recently alerted me that man who was fired for not being fun enough at work got his job back, winning 500,000 euros in a landmark case. We covered it. Last summer, I went to dinner at Guillaume's and he mentioned a restaurant, an all-you-can-eat buffet, not far from his hometown in the south of France. He just celebrated his birthday there.
Okay.
There was talk of flaming duck and a chocolate fountain. Guillaume showed me a picture of the crystal-curtained lobster tower, seven layers of vermilion crustaceans topped by an upright specimen thrusting its claws to the sky as though it had just slayed a halftime show amid a cloud of mist.
Touchdown.
Wow, the restaurant is called Le Grand Buffet. Perfect. Of course it is. Yeah, so a week or so later, I went to its website, entered my email address to receive a secure link to make a reservation online. It was late July. The next available table was for a Wednesday in December at 8:45 p.m. Quote, we remind you that this reservation is non-modifiable. You cannot change the number of guests, the date of the meal, the hour of the meal, or the name of the beneficiary, the confirmation email read. If I wanted to bring children under 10 years of age, I needed to submit their names at least 3 days in advance.
Fair.
I would refuse entry if I showed up in sweatpants, an undershirt, bathing suit, sports jersey, flip-flops, ball cap, any kind of shorts. The toughest reservation in France, it turns out, is not a Michelin-star destination. It is an all-you-can-eat buffet situated in the municipal rec center in the smaller city of Narbonne.
Wow.
Oh, my God. I want to...
Narbonne. I like to think they're doing background checks on these children. I had, like, they're just background, like, wow, how do they behave? They're calling kindergarten teachers. Is this kid going to cry here? Yes. I love it. I love it.
And also just a pre, like, do you have food allergies? You may not enter. No, yeah. No, no. Your children can't be eating steaming lobster towers. No, no. That's incredible. I want to go, though. Don't you want to go?
Yeah, I absolutely
want to
go.
It's 57 euro for all you can eat.
That's really cheap.
Yeah, for like as much lobster as you can eat. That's crazy.
Yeah, I did a seafood tower thing at this place in Santa Monica like 2 days ago. I mean, I didn't have to pay for it. It was a business thing. But it was like $200, and it was just two levels of seafood.
That's just two levels?
Two levels. 15 oysters, an entire lobster, probably like 20 clams, 20 mussels, and 24 shrimp.
That's not it. That's too
much. Was that the Water Grill on Ocean Avenue?
It was Fishing with Dynamite.
Oh, that place is good.
It's really good. It is really good. It was great. But I was just like, this doesn't seem like a deal. You guys been to Red Lobster? Endless shrimp over there.
Also, it doesn't feel to me like a tower until it hits the third level.
Yeah, you need a third level
just
for a
put
tower.
One, even if you got two shrimp up there, then you're like, now we have a tower.
Yeah, and if you do pose it so it looks like it's performing at a halftime show, then I will enjoy that too.
Yeah, a snowman ain't a snowman until you get that third ball on top.
Right? Like, otherwise, it's two balls on top of each other.
Yeah.
Not really creepy, just not good. I agree. It's not a seafood tower until you get to the third tier.
Exactly.
Precisely.
Wow. Okie dokie. Let's move on. This
I think that's the name. I think that's the name of this episode. It's not a seafood tower until you get to the third tier.
Until you get to the yeah.
Type it in, Katie. Her fingers are going to get tired. Isla Birch sent this in. I like that name, Isla Birch. I think she sent stuff
one.
In. It sounds like a high-end umbrella company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I got a $300 umbrella from Isla Birch.
Yeah. Oh, is that an Isla Birch?
Yes. Isla, just saying, you might have a side hustle coming your way. This was written by Abby Carney, who's so good at writing about stories like this, for runnersworld.com.
Classic.
Trail runner trapped inside a public smart toilet for over 10 minutes.
Wow. Wait, on the trail? There's a smart toilet on a trail? I'm intrigued.
You know it's not America. You can guess that right
there
away.
There it is.
Sometimes smart technology intended to make life more convenient can turn into more of a nightmare scenario. That was one trail runner's experience in Hong Kong recently when he found himself trapped inside a public toilet for 10 minutes. According to the Standard, the automated smart toilet system was just installed a month ago, and the man had to be rescued by someone who opened the door from the outside. Local politician Michael Tien Phuc Son told the newspaper that he found the incident concerning. what a neutral state.
Concerning.
Tien had heard the restroom had no emergency contact information posted inside of it and no other way to seek assistance. The runner used the most traditional method, knocking on the door and shouting.
Why does this guy have a cell phone? Come on, where's your phone?
Yeah, he's just running free and shouting to solve this intelligence problem, he told the newspaper. I have the impression that this public toilet may be smart, but the person who designed it is not smart at all.
Oh!
Going in
burn!
Hard.
Oh!
Today, in a legislative council meeting, Diane Wong Shu Khan, the Undersecretary for Environment and Ecology, said the smart toilet had, quote, initiation problems, end quote, that have since been solved. She also said the restroom has an electronic lock that can be opened and closed by waving at the sensor, as well as a manual door lock. However, the electronic lock cannot be accessed if the manual lock is in use. So there's, I mean, that's stupid. That's not smart. So if you lock it by hand and not by sensor, and then you use the sensor, you have to unlock it by hand.
Makes sense. That makes sense to me.
It makes sense. But
does that mean
at that point?
Yeah, it just have to be manual.
Mean that he locked himself in and then.
That is what this means.
Yes.
That, and that there was no signage.
Like 10 minutes is not a long time, frankly. Yeah. 10 minutes, that's standard toilet time, really. So what are you complaining about here, guy?
Washed a couple times, I can see why it's a story. But it doesn't even sound like he got washed a couple times.
Sounds kind of nice, right? Just 10 minutes to yourself in Hong Kong?
Yeah.
That's a very populous city.
Yeah. Little 10-minute oasis there.
Yeah, little staycation with a seat. According to Wong, the toilet also has an emergency door switch, and after an inspection spurred by the incident, personnel confirmed that there was no issue with it.
Again, this is maybe just this guy's problem. This seems like a skill issue. Maybe I'm built different, but I'm not getting locked in this toilet personally.
Is this guy famous? How does he get a story written about this? I locked myself in a bathroom for 10 minutes. I should get a story. I've done that.
You got to remember, this is in runnersworld.com. So
they're looking
for any runner doing anything except getting a cramp.
I'm surprised it's not on smarttoilet.com.
Yeah, aficionado. Yeah. In response to this situation, instructions have been posted inside the toilet to help aid future bathroom patrons should they find themselves unable to exit the smart stall. He just didn't understand is basically what they say too. And then because Abby Carney is the best in the biz, she says, we can all sympathize with the panic he likely felt, especially if the toilet was located in a less trafficked trail area. I mean, sure. I am shocked that cities like LA and New York don't have more and more pay toilets everywhere that are nice.
Yeah, I think in New York there's like five.
It seems like a winning business.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
100%. I think I know exactly where all of the, at least when I lived there, I knew where all of them were. There was one in Madison Square Park. There was one in Herald Square. There was one. There wasn't even one in Times Square, which is weird. You think you would want a public toilet that cleans itself in Times Square.
On New Year's Eve, you could make $1 million.
$1 million.
$10 for 2 minutes, and you would have people going constantly.
Yeah, and they do clean pretty well, the self-cleaning ones. Yeah. I mean, they basically just spray the water down with antiseptic, but that works for me.
A delight.
So much better than the 900 coffee shops. I bought a cup of coffee and said, I don't even want it. I just need to use your bathroom. And then you'd walk by like all the dry goods, all the containers still in packaging, step over broken tiles. And then like you'd be like, oh, okay. And now this toilet has no seat and you all work here and the sink doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the worst, and you both are men, you probably don't have to deal with this, but when you do the coffee shop bathroom, you're like, fine, it's not even that. And then you can't hover and you got to sit and it's warm. And it's one, and you're like, ah. Yeah.
Yeah. You're looking around that restaurant going, who?
Who was it? Who was it right before me? I know one of you did it. And it's just, ugh.
Yeah, I went to one in Switzerland. I was in Interlaken on a hike, and there was just two public restrooms that weren't locked, and they
in the
were the
woods?
Cleanest bathrooms. Yeah, just in the woods.
That's wow.
Beautiful. And like, we folded the toilet paper into a triangle to see if anybody used it, and 2 days later just went back, and it was just sitting there. Toilet paper still folded the same way. We were like, oh, this is just the greatest thing. It was incredible.
That's amazing.
Other countries, their bathrooms, they're so good everywhere else. And then America, you just are like, well, it's a hole and it's fine. And okay, yes. I'll make do.
Yes. Well, I'll buy that cup of coffee for that hole. If that's what it takes, we'll do it. Curdy B, you want to tease us into some thumbs ups?
I will. Porch pirate disguised as trash bag steals package from home's doorstep.
Everybody, YouTube this video.
Yes,
so funny.
It's incredible. The video is so good. It's incredible. If you break the law, but it looks really cool, you should be able to get away with
it. I agree.
And I'm sorry to whatever the package was. But like, it was hilarious.
I agree. If you're going to this length, you should just be forced to hand deliver the package with an apology in there.
Yeah. All right, give me some thumbs up.
Thumbs ups. I'm thumbs upping Lily Lynn. She's a longtime listener, and she sent me some Oakley Blades. And Curdy B,
what?
I'm loving them.
Dude,
I know.
You got Oakley Blades, bro?
Wow.
I got a gin and tonic with Lily Lynn in Portland 2.5 years ago, and it made an impact. Peach wants a thumbs up. The Queen City Worker Center. They bring workers of all backgrounds together to fight for better working and living conditions in their communities. I believe they're based out of Buffalo, New York, and they're currently looking for donations. So please Google their GoFundMe. It's Queens City Workers Center.
Awesome.
That sounds great. We thumbs up.
Yeah. Thumbs up.
Yeah.
Emily Free Hafer or Haffer? I think it's Free. Hafer. Emily is thumbs upping herself. Emily is finishing her 10th year of teaching, but this is going to be the first year she's taking the summer off.
Oh,
nice.
Nice.
Wow. Oh my God.
The joy of being a teacher. It's the only joy of being a teacher these days is summer's off. And
yeah.
They don't pay enough to do it.
Yeah. I mean, my partner is a teacher and it's his 10th year actually. And he has to do summer school because they don't make enough to not do summer school. So enjoy that year off. Thumbs up yourself. Yeah. That's right.
Thumbs up, Emily. I know my mom always works summer jobs. This is interesting. Back to the Red Lobster of it all. Here's one that's going to make sense. Krabby is thumbsing up Schlimpy, his crustacean partner, for being a fiercely loyal bananimal and for getting him hooked on bananas. He said he's one of the 8 or 9 men who listen to Bananas and love it. So thank you, Krabby, and thank you even more to Schlimpy, his crustacean partner. Thumbs up. And last but not least, Sarah is giving her husband Michael Gurney's a thumbs up. Michael co-designed a Star Trek tactical miniature game that's launching right now.
Wow.
It's called Star Trek Into the Unknown, and you can find this miniatures game at whizkids.com. So thumbs up, Michael.
Nice.
Thumbs up.
Yeah, I'm a whiz kid.
Is that all, Scotty?
That's all.
And of course, we are here with the wonderfully talented and fantastic Ashley Ray. Ashley, tell us about your podcast.
Yeah.
TV I Say with Ashley Ray.
TV I Say. It is all about television. I was a TV critic for a while for Vulture, the AV Club, a few sites. And when I started writing for TV, you got to stop doing that. You can't be a TV critic and be a comic. You know, you piss people off when they're like, oh, you gave my episode of The Real O'Neills a C- in 2012 and you'll never work in this town. So, so I put it, you know, to the side but I still wanted a place to talk about TV because I just love it, you know, but not with the pretense and stress of criticism. So I started this podcast during the pandemic and really just used people I knew online and mutual friends to be like, will you be a guest and just come talk about whatever shows you like? So it's, you know, comedians, actors like Seth Rogen talking about 90 Day Fiancé, really? Which he's obsessed with, which he knows so much about the show.
He really does.
Or, you know, like Nicole Byer, who is also obsessed with 90 Day Fiancé and like just a lot of true crime stuff. So it's a place where people can, you know, really talk about the TV they love and appreciate without being afraid that they're going to upset some writer, actor somewhere.
That's great. And what are you watching right now? If I may ask.
A lot of things, honestly. Palm Royale. Yeah, like I do watch everything because I got to talk about it.
I just watched the first episode of Palm Royale last night. I liked
it. What do we think? What's the review? I haven't seen it.
It's good. For me, it took a bit of time to get going, but I think because the cast is so star-studded. You have Kristen Wiig, Carol Burnett, Allison Janney. It's just Ricky Martin, all stars. Mm-hmm. And Carol Burnett, they wait a while before they let her come out the gate and really do what she does. So for me, I was like, come on, when are we getting the Carol? Yeah. And when they bring her out, it's like, okay, now we got a show.
I did feel that it's stylized in a way that at first kind of pushed me away.
Yeah.
I didn't want it to be that kind of stylized. I was like, I'm kind of done. I'm annoyed by this quirkiness.
Yeah.
But Kristen Wiig just makes you like it because she's so good.
She sells it.
She's not playing a Kristen Wiig character either, which is exciting.
It feels really different for her.
It feels really different for her.
Yeah, and something she's doing in her career. So, Palmer, it's on Apple TV. Check it out.
Of course.
There's another Apple TV show I just started. And
The New Look?
No. People told me that one was bad.
It's excellent.
Is it?
Yeah, I think The New Look is excellent. Yeah. It's about
Because I read one review that was just like, this doesn't hold them to accountability enough for being Nazis or something. And I was like, okay, I guess I shouldn't watch
it.
Christian
Dior, it's Christian Dior and Chanel. And Chanel closed her shop when the Nazis invaded, but then collaborated with them to sue her former Jewish partners.
Yeah.
Whereas Christian Dior designed dresses for Nazis, but then his sister was taken into a camp because she was part of the French underground, and so was vehemently anti-Nazi, even though he had to design because that was the only way to like be able to feed himself. So it's a very complicated kind of like thing. It's like what you see when you have like, essentially an invading force come and take over your country, but your country is still functioning and like up and running and stuff. I think it's really, really interesting. And it's like very well acted and very well written.
Oshkosh B'gosh stand on the Nazis in 1941? That's the story.
That is the question.
Oshkosh was ice fishing the whole time.
Somewhere in Wisconsin. Right. I don't know.
Or Norway. I want to hear the story of Oshkosh B'gosh versus the Nazis.
That's
the movie I want to watch.
So people always ask this when they write in. The first show we were talking about was Palm Royale on Apple, and the second show we were talking about was New Look. Because people always say, like, please repeat the name later. And I'm always like, okay.
Yes, both on Apple TV, which is killing the game lately, honestly. They're really killing the game. The Masters of the Air, that was the other Apple TV show I just finished, which I didn't think would be for me. It is a total old white dad show. Uh-huh. No offense. It's about World War II and people flying. It's literally made by Steven Spielberg and Tom Hanks. And I was
the opening credit sequence, you're like, oh, I'm going to hate this show.
Yeah.
And it's awesome.
It's so awesome. But I was just like, I like Austin Butler. I'll give it a chance. Three episodes in, I'm just like sobbing. I'm like, these are my boys. We got to get them home.
Bring them back.
I like watched the documentary about the real people behind the show. I was all in. So yeah. If they could get someone like me to truly be crying over these like, just like white dude. And also they do cover the Tuskegee Airmen in like one episode, but they
put them in the opening credits like they're going to be a like big part of the
you
show.
Think and that's one reason I watched it, because I was like, oh, we're going to see that story, and then it's one episode and then they never get another line again, and you're just like, well, okay,
that's weird.
Okay,
it was really weird.
But
what
still recommend it.
Shoehorn that in for like, oh, just give them their own series. What are we doing?
No kidding.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Yeah.
That's so funny. Curdy B, what did you tease us into? What were we chatting about?
Oh, Porch Pirate disguises trash bag, steals
porch
packs from
Pirate.
Yes.
Wouldn't happen if you had a Davy mat. If you have a Davy mat, you... one of our very favorite secure delivery lockbox systems.
I mean, that Davey Matt, that was content integrated dynamic advertising right there.
Yeah. A seamless.
There's no other thing to tell you. I'm going to put the video on the Instagram.
Yeah.
It is someone's door cam, and it is literally someone, and it's very well done. That's the crazy part. The person looks straight up like a trash bag that is just moving up the person's front walkway. And then it just sits on top of the package and then walks away with the package. But it's the craziest part is that, like, if you were thinking it was a good disguise, like, would you move slower so that, like, people wouldn't notice?
Yeah.
This person's just like, do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah, no, it's just a walking pace. And, like, it's like, that's just a person in a trash bag.
It's so, so beautifully funny. So, it's Scotty, you incredible. Can go right into your...
I'll dive into another one. Sure. Here's one that's a change of pace. Gus G. sent this in. Thanks, Gus. Sends lots of good stories. But also Brent, I think it's Kennerson, sent this in. So thanks, gents. We appreciate it. Man stung in testicles by scorpion while sleeping at a Las Vegas strip resort.
Wow. Inside
the hotel. He was at a resort on the strip, and he got stung in the testicles by a scorpion. There's a photo of his boxer briefs with the scorpion still attached. He took them off, I will say. They're not of that. But this was by Joshua Peguera. Of course it was. The guy loves these kind of stories. For KLAS. Who is really good? He's the best in the biz at getting stung on the testicle stories. A California man staying at a Las Vegas strip resort over the holiday weekend said he was considering legal action after his testicles were stung by a scorpion while he was asleep. Michael Farchi of Agora Hills says he woke up in excruciating pain. I mean, I can't imagine. Yeah. During his stay at the resort. I just felt like somebody stabbing me in my private area, Farchi said. It felt like sharp glass or a knife. Upon investigation, Farchi found the source of the pain. I went to the restroom and I saw a scorpion hanging from my underwear.
No.
Would you have to go to the bathroom to see that?
Crazy.
I know. I don't know. Afterward, the man says he and his family checked out one day earlier than expected. I bet they did.
Yeah.
And the hotel comped his room. There you go.
Nice.
Archie and his attorney shared photos of the orange scorpion on his underwear, and it is bright orange. I didn't know they came in that color.
No, I didn't either.
Yeah, no.
Please tell me what hotel.
Yeah.
I will. When asked if he knew how the scorpion got into his hotel room, the California man admitted that he did not. Quote, I didn't even know how it got into the room. There it is. Just the same thing twice in a row.
Yeah.
Thanks, Joshua. It was just under my covers. A report filed
Under the covers? He was under the covers? I just assumed that this dude is out and like
I was like on the bed on a something. Okay. Yeah. It had to be in the bed then.
Somebody put it in this bed. How does a scorpion get into a bed on, like, I'm assuming I don't think there's any, like, single first floor hotel rooms in Las Vegas Strip. They're all, like, on the 13th floor or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A report filed with the Strip property at the Venetian Resort. I've stayed at the Venetian more than once.
Wow.
I don't mind the Venetian. They have a cool bar. They have a chandelier bar there, I think.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good spot. Detailed the incident, saying that he had been bitten by a scorpion. I think stung.
Stung.
Maybe. It stings, yeah.
Stung. Around 8 a.m., so woke up to it. I woke up like this. the report indicated that Farchi told staff he was in a lot of pain and blamed the Venetian for the incident, adding the scorpion was in the bed.
Yeah.
Was in the bed when he was sleeping.
That has to be in the, because they tuck those so tight. It had to be in there.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Also, like, there's so many things that to be worried about when you're staying at a hotel. But a scorpion inside your bed is never something I anticipated.
No.
Yeah, no.
No.
I have friends
hated testicles too.
Yeah,
that's the craziest part as well. Like, why just go for it?
Why go? Yeah, anything. Yeah, because I mean, you got to travel a ways to get there. So
yeah,
I have friends who are terrified of bed bugs in hotel beds, mm-hmm. and I just they do a check every time, and I think if they found a scorpion, they would never stay in a bed in a hotel again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had that at a hotel not about a year ago when we were touring, and I just got rid of everything. I put every single thing I had on, including my luggage, and just threw it all away, and I was like, "Damn, this sucks." Like, mm-hmm. I won't make that mistake again. It is not fun.
No. Where was that?
That was in Portland.
Oh, ooh. At that place?
Mhm.
That mm. I booked that one. Oh. And it was not
it
nice.
It was close.
It was not nice.
Okay. You live, you learn. You know,
you learn.
Not
and
a
what
girl,
we've
not
learned
a woman.
Is we're that Scotty books weekend. Scotty books the hotels now. He just sends me, this is where we're staying.
And?
Oh, yeah, it's going to be very nice.
Yeah. Everybody was in shock, Farchi said. Nobody believed it. Even I couldn't believe it. But he went to the hospital. They did say it was a scorpion sting. The incident number from Resort marked the event, Farchi said, adding that he was considering legal action. His attorney said the scorpion sting has been a source of trauma for his client.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
He did get stung on the testicles while he was asleep in a hotel room.
It's terrifying.
That
it's
would
terrifying.
Be dramatic to me.
Yeah. It would be traumatic. Like, every time you go to bed. I would be like, I'm going to get stung.
I'd have to check every bed for the rest of my life now.
This guy, it would be cool if this guy, like, if a shark bit off his leg next time he went to a hotel.
Yeah, while he's in bed.
While he's asleep.
How?
It's just a shark in the bed.
But because this is a hotel and a gambling hotel, like, what would it take for you to walk away? Like, what would they have to entice you with at the Venetian for you to go, okay, I won't sue?
Oh,
like a $10,000 poker chip, a week stay all inclusive.
I think free rooms for life.
Ooh, yeah,
that's good.
Free room for life. Yeah,
free room
I'm so
for life.
Traumatized. I want to stay here for the rest of my life
for free. For free.
And you would come with your own sleeping bag
and
sleep on top of the
covers. Not under the covers, on top, and then every Vegas vacation, baby, saving money.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, this whole incident made me think of my old friend, college buddy and New York friend, Eliza, who was the worst player at that game where it's like, would you rather? So you go like, would you rather never have to pee again or never need keys again? And you go, oh, that's interesting. Let's talk it out. She was so bad at it. And as soon as I heard this, she would be like, okay, Scotty, would you rather get stung in the testicles by a scorpion or have tentacles for arms forever? And you go, well, the scorpion.
Yeah, the scorpion one.
No matter what. Like, everybody else was so good because there were a lot of comics. There were a lot of creative people. And so we would get drunk and buy pitchers of beer and just talk and try to make each other laugh with would you rathers. And she would always be like, would you rather
have an atom bomb dropped on your entire family or get a paper cut?
Get a paper cut.
Fingers.
Really was like that. Somebody once said, would you rather your partner left you to marry a motorcycle or an alligator? We talked about that for 2 hours.
It got I guess a motorcycle.
Exactly.
Yeah. That seems obvious to me.
The motorcycle is worse.
No, I would rather they do a motorcycle.
Oh, right.
An alligator is dangerous.
And the alligator might die. So there's a celebration. Like, it was like eight of us being like, of course it's the gator. It's the motorcycle.
The motorcycle, yeah.
Back together, you can ride the motorcycle.
I actually did hear a good one of these recently, and it was, would you rather only be able to drink water for the rest of your life? Only water, no other drinks, no alcohol, nothing. Or the rest of your life, you can drink whatever you want, but anything you drink has a little drop of pee in it.
Wait, give it to me again.
I like
this
one.
So only water the rest of your life, or anything you want. Keep living your normal life of drinking beer, whatever. But everything you drink has a little drop of pee in it.
Oh, interesting.
This is so interesting.
See?
This is a great one. See, for example, Eliza would go, everything you drink, only water for the rest of your life, or your eyes are on the back of your head. I'm going with water.
I gotta go with water. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Kurt, do you have an answer to that one? That's a really good one.
Yeah, this is a tough one.
Katie Levine, what's your answer for this one? Type it in for or say it for us. We want to know. I would go.
Who's pee is the question.
That was a point that came up. Yeah. You don't get to know really the source of the pee. And it could be your own pee. It's kind of like a up for grabs type deal.
Uh-huh.
The bummer is the water you would drink would have... The water would be the worst thing to drink. Kurt drinks a lot of water. That's something established on this podcast.
Yeah.
So it would taste a little like urine for the rest of your
life. The rest of your life. All the water like is basically just...
Who cares? You give me a margarita that has a droplet of pee in it? I'm sure it's happened to me 15, 20 times in my life.
So that's why I went drop a pee, because I was like, I think, honestly, if we had a black light, most things have a little pee in it, probably.
Right. Probably. So, right. But here's the question.
I'm going drop a pee.
But here's the question. It's like you have to know how many drop, like at like if you can you can everything you drink be a 40 ounce container, because then a drop of pee in 40 ounces not a big deal, but if it's a drop of pee per every 8 ounces,
oh, it's any cup, anything you're given, if you get so a then, shot okay, it's gonna have you, a drop of pee in it,
but then like a shot, like everything's killed because of the alcohol.
Oh yeah, yeah,
everything you drink, you just drink out of a bucket. That's what I think is the answer.
Well, now I'm back on. Yeah, now I'm staying pee.
Yeah, I'm staying pee.
I want to carry a bucket of Minute Maid around with me all the time. Like, good morning, neighbor.
Sorry about this bucket, but everything I drink has a drop
has a little
of pee,
pee
in it.
And
this dilutes it enough that I don't
that
have
I
to
don't
taste
notice.
It.
This is my gallon of coffee, so I don't taste my pee.
I know it might seem weird that I'm holding this bucket, but the cool thing is...
You can barely taste the pee.
I'm drinking less pee this way. Oh, well, that is a great way.
God, I feel like we should have half our bonus loads just be would you rathers.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's smart. So... All right. Well, thank you so much, Ashley. That was so wonderful. Everybody, go listen to Ashley Ray's brand new comedy album, Ice Cream Money, out right now everywhere.
Yes.
Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me. This was so fun.
It was a joy. Delight. Where is the best place for them to buy your album? If you had to send the Bananimals to one website to buy Ice Cream Money, where should they go?
I mean, well, you can buy it from the Blonde Medicine site and get it on vinyl. Yeah, we did a fancy vinyl. It's pink, and you get also the track, you know, you get a link to download it, but you get the nice fancy vinyl, and I think it has like stickers or something. I don't know, but it's pink. Otherwise, if you go to Amazon, I think maybe I get a penny more, but you know, it's everywhere. Apple Music, Spotify. Yeah.
Nice.
Go to the source.
Blonde
thanks,
Medicine.
Thanks, Ashley.
Thanks for having me.
Bananas.
Banyan.
Bananas is an Exactly Right Media production.
Our producer and engineer is Katie Levine.
The catchy Bananas theme song was composed and performed by Kahan.
Artwork for Bananas was designed by Travis Millard.
And our benevolent overlords are the great Karen Kilgariff and Georgia Hardstark.
And Lisa Maggot is our full human, not a robot intern.
Bananas.